I hate him in the scene because he's got like, he gets into the carriage and he like undoes the front of his cape like it's supposed to be sexy or something. And Emma's just like, looking out the window.
Yeah, unbutton a cape. Ooh, eyebrows. Ooh. That's getting hot in here.
Who knows what happens? Hello and welcome to the Art of Costume Blogcast. I'm Elizabeth Joy Glass.
And I'm Spencer Williams.
How was your week, Spencer?
Oh, it was so good. Want to know what I've been doing that I've just been totally in love with?
What?
I have been so happy to finally go back to the movie theaters. It's been so fun.
Isn't it such a good feeling?
It's so nice. Like, I even took like a day off of work the other day and I went around like 2 p.m. I was the only one in the theaters with a beer watching Suicide Squad. And it was just like, I felt like I was in heaven. It was the best feeling ever.
It's so good. Like, I must admit, I really enjoy this new trend of them putting new releases on streaming platforms. It doesn't change me wanting to go to the movies. Like, most of the movies I watched on streaming, I also went to go see in theaters.
Yeah, it's almost like I like both because it helps me make a choice. Like, when Suicide Squad came out, I said, okay, I'm gonna see that one in theaters. But then some movies come out, you're like, oh, I could probably just, you know, stream that. It kind of helps you, like, prioritize what sounds more fun.
Absolutely. There are things I watched just because they went straight to streaming that I never in a million years would have gone to a theater for.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, it's also why I love doing this podcast with you so much, because it's making me like have to go to the movies and see things too.
I know. I'm watching things that like I would have just like completely glossed over before.
And it's only going to get worse.
It's only going to get worse. Hey, don't forget who's in charge of the schedule.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry.
Are you excited for this week's movie though?
I am excited. I'm very nervous, but I'm ready to just dig into it. So bring us there.
Everyone, this week we watched Autumn Day Wilde's 2020 adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma.
Woo!
So good. This is such a good adaptation.
So last week our episode was Clueless, as you all remember. And I've never seen Emma. I've never seen any adaptation of Emma, Pride and Prejudice, anything Jane Austen. But I've seen Clueless, so I'm so glad I saw Clueless to help me understand what's happening here.
I find that just so hilarious because, like, I would have been lost in Clueless if I had not watched Emma first.
This shows how different we are.
I was just like, where's Mr. Elton? Who's supposed to be, like, Miss Taylor and Mr. Weston, like?
Mr. Elton was the guy at the party who tried to make out with Cher.
I get that once I actually heard his name and he wasn't some weird guy just kissing her on the cheek all the time.
I mean, okay, this goes without saying, but we are in Elizabeth's world this week, so I'm just here to support. I love this movie. It was fun. But Elizabeth is in charge today. I'm just here to talk about pretty costumes.
That is exactly what we're here for. So, Spencer, give us that synopsis.
All right. Well, here's the summary this week, brought to you by Wikipedia.
Gosh.
The number one source for information.
I wish I had just finished that synopsis myself.
The film follows the story of Miss Emma Woodhouse, a wealthy and elegant young woman living with her father in Regency-era England. Something of a queen bee in her sleepy little town, Emma amuses herself with matchmaking and meddles in the romantic lives of those closest to her. Emma must navigate her way through challenges of growing up, friendships, and misguided matches before she can recognize the love that has been there all along and earn her happily ever after. Boom.
That is actually a very good synopsis.
Yeah. So, see, Wikipedia knows everything. I don't know why teachers would give me a hard time for copy and pasting.
That's probably more about plagiarism.
Which I did not do, by the way.
Sure you didn't. I trust you. If you haven't seen the 2020 Emma, and you have not seen any other adaptation of Emma, of which there are many, stop right here. Go watch any of them. You really won't fully understand this episode unless you watch the 2020 Emma with Anna Taylor-Joy. But, you know, at least you'll know what we're talking about, kind of. So go do that and then come back to us.
I think an important part of this podcast is understanding what we're talking about. So I definitely recommend seeing the movie.
Yeah, see the movie, love the movie, and then come back to us so that I can now take you behind the wardrobe. So director Autumn Day Wild actually had a big hand in the costumes. She was very fascinated by the fashion and how that was going to translate to the screen. But she hired Alexandra Brin as her costume designer. You'll know her from just maybe one or two little films like Elizabeth or its sequel, Elizabeth the Golden Age, or you might know her from a little film, Phantom of the Opera, or Thor. You might know her from The Avengers, or maybe Rise, 300, Rise of an Empire. You might have seen Guardians of the Galaxy, a small film, Avengers Age of Ultron, another just tiny little in and out of the theater film, Doctor Strange, Murder on the Orient Express, might not have heard of that, or most recently, just a small little thing called Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah, all tiny movies that no one's ever heard of.
This woman has worked.
Yeah, I mean, she's like the best of the best, you know?
She really is, and I love this film because she's done a lot of interviews. There are quite a few articles out there, and I love this because she really did her research. One of the things she really looked to for the costumes were the fashion journals that were being published at the time, and this was kind of the first time in history where fashion was being widely circulated through print, and then it was kind of up to people to, like, make it themselves. But she took a lot of inspiration from that. She also, I forget what museum she visited. It might have been the Victoria and Albert Museum, and looked into their archive of Regency era clothing. And she, like, went into the seams of these to, like, look, see what the colors actually were. And she was like, they were so vibrant. And in a lot of these, just period films in general, things look kind of washed out. And her and Autumn de Wilde, they did not want to do washed out. They wanted to do vibrant. They wanted to make it closer to the actual period. So they were like, we're seeing vibrant colors in these old pieces. We're going to go vibrant. So that was a big inspiration for them, just going back, looking at what was actually available at the time. One thing she learned from all of these was about, like, a working wardrobe. Their budget was not terribly big on this film, so she really had to, like, make every piece count. She didn't have doubles for things because she's like, we're not doing action sequences. So the majority of those pieces are one-offs. Emma, it looks like she has a parade of clothing. She only has three muslin dresses. The rest is just, like, layering. So it's such a fascinating film just for how she did the wardrobe.
Yeah, which is why she was nominated for an Oscar in 2021.
Yeah. This was actually the last movie I saw in theaters before the pandemic hit. And I was like, oh, this is so pretty. Like, I wanted to go see it again. But then, like, everything shut down. Things happened.
Yeah, things happened. No, I love what you said about, like, the vibrancy of the colors, because when people think Regency, they think really, like, these faded, pale, no color dresses. But, like, that's not how they were worn. It's just that's how we see them now. You know, years and years later, they're very dated and faded. But the colors could have been very vibrant.
Yeah. And I think especially people think, like, oh, natural. It was all natural dyeing at the time. So, like, oh, that must not be as vibrant. But actually, a girl I know from high school, she now owns a natural dyeing company, and their like, I visited her website once, and their colors are just, like, brilliant. So I'm like, natural dyeing, it's just as good as our chemicals.
Yeah. Well, okay, I love this movie, and I'm sure you have tons of facts to share with us as we go through this, so I'm excited to just jump right into this. Take me to it.
All right, so before we jump into it, everybody, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be right back. to jump into Emma?
I'm ready. Well, actually, I'm a little scared, but you're going to be there to hold my hand through this.
It's okay. I'm here to hold everybody's hand through this entire movie, so don't fret. Do not fret.
There's no fretting here.
There's no fretting here. Unfortunately, Emma, she's have to deal with some fretting. She's getting ready for the wedding of her governess, Miss Taylor, who has been like a best friend and mother to her. So she is sad to see her go. Her father is downright distressed to see Miss Taylor leave. He is a man who is not comfortable with change. However, Emma is very happy to see Mrs. Taylor marry their good friend, Mr. Weston. She made the match herself, and she is very, very proud of it. They go to the wedding. She's looking around for a Mr. Frank Churchill because he is the prodigal son of Mr. Weston, but unfortunately he doesn't show up. So she goes to the reception at their house and spends a lovely day with her friends. That evening, another good friend shows up, Mr. Knightley, and he's there just to kind of talk a little bit of shit about the wedding and see what went down. So what do you think of this first couple minutes of Emma, Spencer?
I loved it. Like I said earlier, I'm so glad I watched Clueless because it gave me kind of like, oh, that's who this person is. That's who that person is. But the costumes already, I was so into it when I saw Emma's like first light pink costume with like that really interesting, I can't even describe it, just like
the Spencer jacket.
Yes, it's just so beautiful. I was already hooked instantly.
Yeah, so I really like this opening sequence because Alexandra Brin, she used what she called a working wardrobe, which was a lot of, it's what all of us have, a lot of separate different pieces that can be interchanged to make different outfits. So we first see her in the muslin dress that she's pretty much going to wear all day with just a little frilly collar placed over the top. That's what she's wearing when she gets the flowers for Miss Taylor. And then for the wedding, we see her change into, she replaces the collar with that light pink Spencer jacket. She puts on that fabulous hat and has her yellow shoes, which I find it really interesting. She only has like the one pair of yellow shoes. I think she has some other like slippers, but it's like, yeah, she's rich. But even back then, shoes were still extremely expensive to have made. And it was like, it was a whole process. Every single pair of shoes was handmade. So yeah, even though she is rich, she's still not going to have like a slew of them around her. She wears that light Spencer jacket to the wedding. Then once they come home for the reception, she changes into, she still has her muslin dress on, but she puts this little just like vest over that only, it's like a second empire like top over her dress, adds some sleeves to it. And then at night when Mr. Knightley comes, she's put like a house jacket over the whole thing. So I love that sequence because it's a whole bunch of different costumes, but it's actually just the same one with different accessories.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until you started explaining it. She really is just essentially wearing the same dress all day long, just putting different pieces over it. But all those little individual pieces almost changed the entire outfit for me, which is so cool.
Yeah, it looks like she has a lot more clothes than she actually does.
Yeah, I love that my favorite jacket is also called the Spencer jacket, which it checks.
Right.
I love that light pink. And I love, like you mentioned, that like empire, like pink vest that she puts on at the end of the day. It's so interesting to me. But my favorite costume has to be Mr. Woodhouse's costume, her father, who essentially he's wearing this robe thing or suit. And he basically blends in with the couch. Like, he's the ultimate couch potato for like the entire film.
When Mr. Knightley's there. Yeah. He's so funny. And like, he really, what he wears, he does just like blend into the background. Cause even to the wedding, he's just wearing that like light blue and like gray blue. Very, very simple. But what it does do is, cause like they're the richest people in the neighborhood, it really makes the two of them stand out once they get to the wedding. Literally everyone else there is in some sort of burgundy or earth tone. And it's so funny. Because they stick out so much. And they're like, yes, we are the richest people here.
Yeah, they definitely stand out. They definitely feel like, I don't know, kind of like the fun, eccentric two people there compared to everyone else who, like, one of my favorite characters is Mrs. Bates, where she's wearing that, like, really burgundy, but then she has the fur collar over with the blue and the gray, the big frilly hat, and she's next to this very elderly woman.
Her mother, yeah.
Wearing, like, the cutest little, like, black bonnet situation going on here. It's so funny. So, yeah, compared to Emma, like, Emma's definitely, like, the little fashion star, even though, like you said, she's not even doing all that much.
She's not. She's just very stylish. She knows what how to use what she has. Also, in this first segment is one of my favorite scenes because in a couple interviews, Autumn de Wilde, she mentions, she's like, in all these historical films, like, we always see women getting changed and unchanged, changed and unchanged. Like, all the historical films, it's like, oh, how did this woman get in and out of her crazy costume? But in this one, they show us how a man gets in and out of his crazy costume.
I love that scene too. I was kind of amazed because I was like, why does he need help getting into these clothes? But I guess it actually was pretty complicated.
Yeah, actually, in an interview with The Wrap, Alexandra Brin says that she, I read a diary of a gentleman who explained dressing with his valet. The measure of a man in the Regency era was about the quality of his laundry, how clean his shirt was, and how starched his white collar was. So it's like he needed this other man's help because, like, everything has to look pristine.
I love that. Okay, I'm starting to get a little bit of a flashback back to when we were doing our articles on the art of costume for Oscars week. Wasn't it you who emailed me and you're like, I have a photo of a nude man getting dressed. Can I include it? Yes or no?
Yeah, that was a video clip of that scene.
Okay. Well, I now that I've seen it, like, in context, it is important. You know, I think it was very interesting to see this very long process of getting dressed. You know, of course we saw it with, like, Bridgerton and, like, how women got dressed, but no one announces, I mean, talks about how perfectly they wrapped a collar and how to put on these pants and then the coat and all the boots. And yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and, like, in a lot of films it's like, ooh, look at us undressing and redressing this hot woman. And it's like, they apparently did film a dressing scene with Emma, but they were like, you know what, it's the man's turn.
One thing I thought was hilarious, which, you know, we've gotten to know through these Regency pieces lately, is are these mutton chop type sideburns that the men were so famous for in a Regency area. Because, you know, it's very, like, through research, it's like men either had no facial hair, were very clean shaven, or they just had, like, the biggest, most disgusting sideburns ever. And so it just, for me, it just ruins the fantasy a little bit of it, because, you know, eventually Emma falls in love with Mr. Knightley, but the whole time I was like, not with the sideburns, please no.
I mean, and his sideburns aren't too bad. They're very on point for the era, though.
Yeah, no, totally. They're exactly to how the men wore their sideburns. That's just, to me, it just makes me want to scream. I want to shave them.
Especially right now, because facial hair was, like, not a thing. It just, like, was not a thing at this point.
Yeah, totally.
So, at this point, now that Miss Taylor is married out of the house, Emma's a little lonely, but someone new moves into the village. She decides to befriend Harriet Smith, who she believes is the illegitimate daughter of a gentleman. So, Emma kind of wants to make a project out of her. She wants to help Harriet take her rightful place in society and find a quote-unquote suitable husband. Harriet, she's like, I have this man, Mr. Martin, a local farmer. His family's been really nice to me. But Emma's like, yes, but what about this lovely local reverend, Mr. Elton, much more suitable for the maybe daughter of a gentleman? And while Harriet loves Mr. Martin, she is completely enamored by Emma and takes her advice. And when Mr. Martin says, will you marry me? She says, sorry, no. Mr. Martin is upset by this rejection. Mr. Knightley is also upset by this rejection because he's Mr. Martin's friend and landlord. And Mr. Knightley's like, Emma, what's up? She can't do better than Mr. Martin. Nobody knows who her family is. Let her just be happy and marry this man. And she's like, no. Harriet can do better. And he's like, well, if you're talking about Mr. Elton, sorry to disappoint, but he's looking to marry a rich woman.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, what I love about this movie is that it's set in the Regency era, but still feels like such like 2021 like drama, like this literally just bickering and throwing shade at each other, talking some shit. Yeah, I feel Mr. Knightley on this one. I'm like, Emma, you just need to like mind your manners and just stop messing with other people's lives.
Yeah, she's never had to, though. That's like kind of the whole point of the book, is that she's basically just like a spoiled brat who's never really had to check herself.
Yeah. Let's talk about some costumes, though. There's a lot of great costumes in this segment. I absolutely love this red coat she's wearing, but my favorite part about it is the hat she's wearing also. This is such like, I've seen this image so many times, and every time I see it, she looks like a painting. She looks so beautiful in this garment.
She really does. That's one thing I like about this movie. You could take any frame and turn it into a painting and it would be absolutely gorgeous. I love this. I love that like you can see the collar of the dress she was wearing when her and Harriet have tea, just kind of like draped over the collar of her jacket. I think that's so cool.
Totally. I didn't recognize that.
Yeah, it looks like part of the coat, but it's actually her dress collar. So it's so cool. And it's like such a contrast between her and Harriet, because Harriet, she lives at the local boarding house, but it is said that like she's relatively well off for a single woman with no family. Like she has an allowance, she's taken care of, just nobody knows exactly who is taking care of her, including Harriet herself. She just knows I'm taken care of. But it's like rich Emma has the very nice coat with the leather gloves, whereas Harriet, she just has her little cape, and I think she has like some fingerless gloves that she's wearing, which it's like, yes, she still looks very nice, but not like Emma.
Yeah, it's like a nice, but it's not like a rich, sophisticated nice, you know. So the girls of the boarding house, I'm guessing, are the ones wearing the red capes then.
Yes, I think it's a school and boarding house. I don't think it's just a boarding house. I think it's probably like a manor school as well.
Yeah, I think this is definitely my favorite costume of the film, was just this little scene right here. It's so stunning.
And then also, Emma wears a lot of stunning coats in this, like that yellow one.
Yellow looks so good on her, too. That's just such a... I'm not a big yellow person, but I'm all about this yellow coat. It's beautiful.
It looks so good, and then it's perfectly offset with the white and the black hat.
Yes.
If it had just been, like, black and yellow, I would have been like, oh, this is not great. But, like, off-putting it with the little bit of white is perfect.
This is when we really get to meet Miss Bates at her, like, best, too. Everyone knows this type of person who you, like, end up in a conversation with.
Yeah.
And they just go and go and go, just talking and talking, and you don't know how to cut them off, and they just keep going.
And they don't realize they're just going.
Yeah, they're just going, talking about things you don't really care about. You know, one of my friends is talking to me this week. They share, like, a TikTok, and it's all about, like, people with, you know, anxiety and ADHD, when you're talking to us, we already know where this conversation is going to end. We know the end to the story. So once you start talking, we just totally like start blanking out everything you're saying because we already know how it ends. That's what's happening here. Emma's just like, okay, just keep going. But her costume on Mrs. Bates is so funny to me because she feels very like, she feels dated in a way where it's like she's very old school in this town, like little Bo Peep style.
Yeah. So the thing with the Bateses is I forget exactly how, but they were like probably as rich as Emma and her family. But I think it was her father or her brother absolutely just squandered the fortune and kind of left them destitute. Because you'll notice this is almost exactly what she's wearing to the wedding. Same coat, same hat. I think it might even be the same dress. So she's probably still trying to wear and like make work things that are 5-10 years old from when she was still wealthy to now.
Definitely.
Let's go to one of the funniest one of the funniest parts of this movie, when Emma convinces Mr. Elton that he wants a portrait of Harriet.
I was so confused by what's going on here. I was like, who is trying to convince who? What is going on? I loved it, though. The portrait scene was so stunning, though.
It was so funny. And, like, I love how Harriet looks. Because, like, it's so ridiculous, but she does look very beautiful in it.
Yeah. I want someone to paint a portrait of me like this, where I stand in front of some really dated artwork and you just paint me.
I'll do it. I'll do it, Spencer.
Okay. And I'll hold like a little cloth in my arm.
Just. Okay. Sounds great. It's so funny. And the scene leading up to it where he's looking at Emma's drawings, like, she's an okay artist. It's nothing spectacular, though. And he's looking at her pictures like they're Michelangelo sketches.
Oh, yeah. He's like, wow. Woo, this is great.
And I do love her little outfit in this, because it's like, it's so ridiculous. But like in some of these scenes with Mr. Elton, they almost wanted to unintentionally like make her a little sexy. So it's like she's like kind of got her boobs pushed up with just like the detached collar. And then even in the painting scene, like she's just wearing her muslin with like a little sheer something over, like over top it.
Yeah.
So it's like, she thinks she's getting him to fall in love with Harriet, but he doesn't know where to look.
Yeah. It's not working in her favor right now, but you know, we're getting there.
It is definitely not working in her favor, especially when Harriet's like, oh my gosh, Mr. Martin wants to marry me. And I love this scene because Emma's being fitted for a coat she wears just a couple scenes later.
I love it, too. I loved watching. One of my favorite things about movies, especially you and I being like, you know, journalists, so to say, of the costume design world, is like seeing someone in a movie like creating a costume. It's like, it's very like a weird world for us all of a sudden. It's like, yeah. Oh look, she's literally creating the dress right now.
You hardly ever see it.
I know. But when it does happen, it's fun.
It is so much fun.
But yeah, if you look closely at the blue coat, there's like basting stitches. They're really like putting it together in a moment. It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's how someone of her status would have been fit for something back then. Like, on them, every inch would have been specifically to her measurements in that moment of time. So I love that. I also love underneath it, she has you see this muslin a couple different times, but here, because she has the yellow petticoat underneath it, it looks like a yellow dress.
Yeah, that's interesting. Take us back, Elizabeth. I want to live in this world. I'm yeah. So jealous.
I want to live in this world, too. Especially then, the very next scene is when Mr. Knightley comes over to be like, what the f***, Emma? Why did you tell your friend not to marry that man? And she's still wearing that dress with the yellow petticoat, but she put this dark purple Spencer jacket over it. So, again, it looks like a completely different dress. But I also love that Alexander Brin, she put Mr. Knightley in that yellow jacket. Because, like, he's the only other person in this movie who is her social equal, really. And, like, the only person who can really confront her about anything. And when you see them side by side, it's like, yes, they are complete and utter equals in every situation.
Also, the like yellow color against the background, which is very pink and green. I just love the use of color in this film. It's so fun and it just pops so beautifully. It's so vibrant. It's just like you said earlier, every scene feels like it could just be a portrait.
It really could. More portrait-like scenes coming up are during Christmas. Very exciting during Christmas. Emma's like working on her scheme to get Mr. Elton to marry Harriet. Her sister and brother-in-law are in town. She's still kind of on the outs with Mr. Knightley, but she's like, no worries. We're just going to go to the Weston's Christmas party, have a good time. Once again, she's disappointed that Frank Churchill's not showing up. But it's like, okay, whatever. But then her whole family freaks out about the snow. They rush to get home, leaving her to share a carriage with Mr. Elton, who's very excited.
I bet he is.
And when they are on the way to take Emma home, he proposes. Emma freaks out. She's like, no, you're in love with my friend. And he's like, he's basically like, fuck Harriet. Like, you're the one I've been interested in this whole time. And she's like, absolutely not. And he gets out of the car like a little bitch and walks home all disappointed. So now Emma has to tell Harriet, who's also disappointed. But because Harriet's like not her social equal, she's just like, oh, of course he loved you and not me. So like she's not really surprised, but she is upset that Mr. Elton doesn't want to marry her.
Okay, so Josh O'Connor, who we really got to know in The Crown because he plays Prince Charles. He's such a brilliant actor, but he's brilliant though because he's such an actor that makes you want, like, he has such a punchable face. I always want to fight him in every role he's in, but he's so good at it though. Like, he's so good. Such a great actor, but you're like, dang, I hate this guy. But I like him because I hate him. He's good at that role.
Yeah, he is very good at that role. It's so funny. Like, I hate him in the scene because he's got, like, he's got his hat and his cape, and he gets into the carriage, and he like undoes the front of his cape like it's supposed to be sexy or something. And Emma's just like, looking out the window.
I mean, maybe that's how it was back in the day.
That's like, absolutely how it was. It's scandalous that they were even sharing a carriage together without a chaperone.
Yeah. Unbutton a cape. Ooh, eyebrows. That's Ooh. Getting hot in here.
I know. Who knows what happens?
But I did love Emma's coat that she wore to the carriage, that like red coat with the big collar on it. I love that.
Yeah, the red cape.
Yeah, it's so nice on her.
It's so nice. And the dress she's wearing to that Christmas Eve party is so beautiful. The white with the silver embroidery. Like, it's so festive without screaming Christmas.
And one thing we haven't really mentioned, but we probably should, that, you know, the Regency era is very known for its empire-waisted dresses.
Yeah, everything's an empire waist.
Literally everything for the women. And we haven't mentioned that, but that just goes without saying that when you're watching a film of the Regency era, Bridgerton, anything like that, it's all about empire waist.
Yeah, it's all about the empire waist. They were really trying to emulate Greek and Roman sculpture, and the empire waist was the easiest way to do that. Although I must admit, it's very sad that that trend did not last longer, because it's like, it's such a much more freeing silhouette than what comes after it.
And I love, too, that you mentioned this. I think it's so interesting that the empire waist and these silhouettes was very inspired by, like, Greek and Roman culture. I think that's really cool because you wouldn't really get that by looking at any of these scenes. You're like, oh, like, why? How are they inspired by Greek and Roman cultures? But it was.
Yeah. There was a huge revival of Greek and Roman art and literature during the time. So it was a gigantic influence on this entire period.
Yeah. So we're ending this segment as Emma goes to the boarding house school.
Yeah, I love this scene.
And they're like taking turns smacking their faces into like a cake made out of sand. I don't know what the hell's going on here.
I think it's a cake made out of flour, I believe. Oh, and I think it's almost like Jenga. Except it's like whoever gets the little, I guess it's a pound to fall, they then have to go pick it up with their teeth. I kind of think that's the game.
I loved everyone's reaction when Emma walks in and they're like, oh, Mrs. Woodhouse, we're so sorry. And Emma's like, what the f*** are you guys doing? That was my reaction too. I was like, can you guys go read a book or something? What the hell is happening here?
They were having some Christmas fun. They all look very cute in this scene. They're all like,
they do,
in pastels. And this is like the most pattern you ever see in the entire film.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. There's little flowers, there's checkers, there's...
polka dots.
Yeah, to put it simple, I guess.
Yeah, I love Harriet's little, like, crocheted shrug.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. It does look like crochet.
Emma has her very serious blue dress on.
Yeah, because, of course, she had to dress up for every occasion.
Before the dinner, I think that coat with the fur is what she's being fit for. I want that coat.
We'll make it for you.
Thank you.
It seems pretty easy enough, right?
I also want all of her coral jewelry that she's wearing when her sister's visiting.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. That dress, too. Like, I wish that scene had been lit a little differently because it has all sorts of, like, embellishment at the top that is hard to see.
Yes, I love all the jewelry. It's all super stunning. It's just everything about this film was stunning. I loved it just like for the visual aspects of it. I was kind of lost the first watch through, but I just knew, I was like, wow, this is beautiful. I love that. Love that.
It's so beautiful. It's so funny. This film really hits on the comedic elements of Emma. Like, I just love her crazy. Her sister is never portrayed as being this crazy. And the brother-in-law, who that's actually Knightley's younger brother. It's just, it's so good. I love that scene. Sorry.
Okay, so let's just walk through this a little bit, though. Because last week we had a huge argument about Cher and Paul Rudd getting together, right? Because they're stepbrothers and sisters. So then I watch Emma and Mr. Knightley's older brother, younger brother.
Younger brother.
Is married to Emma's sister.
Yes.
So then wouldn't that make Mr. Knightley Emma's...
brother-in-law? Technically, no.
Technically, no. But...
they've been neighbors forever. Her brother-in-law is Mr. Knightley's younger brother.
So aren't they kind of related?
Kinda. Her sister's related to him through marriage.
So then how is this any different than Clueless when you gave me a lashing?
Okay. This is different because A, everybody is of age. There are no minors involved. B, their mother was never married to Mr. Woodhouse. They never called her sister. They never lived in the same house as siblings.
I don't know. I'm just not buying it. I'm just not buying it, Elizabeth. I'm saying that love is love, and I just do want, no, I'm just not going to go there. I'm just saying I get it, you know? I think they work out as a couple, as did, I think, Cher and Paul Rudd's character in Clueless. That's all. Aside from the fact that she was a minor, but that's just
that little fact.
That fact is bad.
That tiny fact. That she's a minor in high school and he's in college.
Okay, whatever the next movie is, make sure that no brothers or sisters or step siblings.
They're not related in this movie.
I mean, I think we need to take a break.
Perfect, because it's time for a break.
All right, we'll see you all after the break. We are back. Elizabeth and I had a long discussion about these brother-sister, not brother-and-sister relationships. We've put it behind us and we're ready to just proceed without mentioning it ever again for the sake of our relationship.
We are never talking about this again. But you know who is talking, Spencer? Mrs. Bates.
Oh, God, kill me.
She is so excited. She is so excited because her niece, Jane Fairfax, has finally come home to visit Hartfield. She's excited. Emma's excited to meet her. Jane seems a little shy, maybe. So Emma's kind of like, okay, girl, whatever. But then she's quickly distracted yet again by the arrival of Mr. Weston's prodigal son, Frank Churchill. Emma and Frank, they're hitting it off right away. They're flirting. Emma's like, maybe I will get married. I wasn't going to, but maybe I will get married now. So she's like, okay, I see you, Frank Churchill. So she's going about her life. Her and Harriet are hanging out. And then there's yet another addition to Highbury society. Because after she rejected Mr. Elton, he went on a little vacation. And he came back with a wife who is yes. very much trying to make herself the center of social life in the village.
I don't even know where to start. But I want to start with Mrs. Elton's hair. Is that her hair or is it a bow? I spent the entire movie trying to staring at it.
I'm 90% sure it's her hair.
But not 100, though.
Not 100. And this is how Autumn de Wilde envisioned her, pretty much. It's a quote from her interview in Fashionista. Fashion can be so ridiculous. And I love that about fashion. And I love especially when the person wearing it does not seem aware of how ridiculous it is.
Okay, I love that. I love that quote. It's so good.
That is like the basis of her. Because she's like, she's definitely like, she is that person on Instagram who is wearing every new trend.
Yeah.
And wearing it to like 100% and immediately dropping it for the next trend. So she's hilarious. She is so funny.
I loved one of my favorite scenes is when they go to, you know, it's like a chapel where Mr. Elton is.
Oh, the church?
Yeah. Mr. Elton's doing his thing. And I walk up and Mrs. Elton is sitting in like Emma's chair. And the look on everyone's face is like, what the fuck is happening here? Who is this girl with the hair bow? I don't like this. I do not like change. Get this out. No.
Like, everyone's so affronted for them. Because that's their pew. Like, it's not a thing anymore. But, like, back in the day, like, your pew, like, that was the whole thing. And someone taking your pew was not cool.
Oh, hell no. You better get up out of my pew right about now.
Yeah. And I love this scene because Emma, she is kind of wearing, like, a ridiculous fashion. Her hat is a lot. But she balances it out with, like, an entirely white ensemble.
Yes.
So then in contrast to Mrs. Elton, who has the big bonnet with the veil and all the orange.
She looks like the sun over here in the front pew.
Poor Harriet. She's just like in her little bonnet and like mint green jacket. I love Harriet's fashion as the movie goes on because I feel like Emma is like giving her hand-me-downs and like upgrading her wardrobe.
Yeah. Slowly but surely it's getting there. But Emma's face just says it all. She's just in physical pain seeing someone in her pew.
Her and her father are not happy about this.
No.
But rolling way, way back when Miss Bates invites her and Harriet up to the apartment.
Yes, I want to talk about this too.
It's so drab. And like, you see Harriet and Emma in their carriage at first. And Emma's wearing like a very cute green checkered coat. Harriet has her like her brown coat on. They both look very nice, very smart. It's like very like bright and like kind of cheery out. And then as soon as they're put into their dark apartment, you can just see how uncomfortable and depressed they both are.
Oh my gosh. It's like even the environment around Mrs. Bates is just like, please help. She's a lovely woman, you know. You're like, she's a nice friend, she's caring. But they're all in her space and everything is just like gray and drab and ugh. And she's just going and going. It's like Emma's literally in her worst nightmare right yeah. now.
And I love Jane in this scene because you can see that like she's been being taken care of like family friends her whole life. And she's like a young, vibrant woman, clearly with that like with the white muslin and like the lilac Spencer jacket. But like in that environment, just like that environment sucks the color out of every single thing everyone's wearing.
Definitely. She's just like, even she's not happy about this. You could tell. She's just, why are we here? This is ridiculous. I want out of this apartment. That's a funny scene.
It's a great scene. And I love kind of like the rivalry between her and Emma going forward, like at the dinner party. When she plays the pianoforte, and it's like she does not look as grand as Emma, but in terms of like accomplishments and like how she conducts herself in society. Like, she is totally Emma's equal, even if she doesn't have the monies to back that up.
Oh, definitely. And at that little dinner party scene, she's dressed up so nicely now in like the white with like the coral necklace. She just really glows. And you're right, she is Emma's equal. Once she got out of Mrs. Bates' tacky gray apartment, she really like is given a spot to shine.
I love it. And it's such, because Emma's wearing that, I think it's a like a black satin gown in that, and that she just contrasts off Emma so nicely.
Yeah, Emma's going through changes right now. She might not know it yet, but she's going through changes. One thing I did like, which I've really learned from talking to you today, is, you know, how they rewore a lot of things, and also it was essentially just one jacket or outfit that they were putting layers of pieces on top of. So later on, when she's with Mr. Churchill and she's wearing that pink Spencer jacket that I loved from the beginning, it kind of just put a light bulb in my head, like, oh, you know, it seemed like there was tons and tons of costumes in this film, but it's really just a use of a lot of the same costumes, just in different variations, because this feels like a whole new costume, but it's not. It's like, that's the jacket we saw from earlier. It's really pretty.
Yeah, and I love Frank Churchill in this. They made him much more of a villain than he usually is, but I like it so much. We're going to have to watch the version with Gwyneth Paltrow at some point. Uh-oh. Ewan McGregor plays Frank Churchill, and it's amazing.
Season 2, we'll watch another Emma, just for you.
And then there's an Emma mini series from not that long ago.
All right, well, pick one.
One a season.
No.
One Emma a season. I've decided. Okay. So I love Frank Churchill because he's a lot like Mrs. Elton, where he's like, Mr. Knightley, he's a very classy gentleman. He is like the epitome of class in this time. But Frank Churchill, like, because his aunt and uncle have lots of money that he is going to inherit one day. So I love, you can see, like, he wears that green jacket with the patterned vest. Then he has a solid color vest underneath that. And then a patterned ascot. And I'm like, ooh, you, like, are really looking very fine, sir.
He looks like the Mad Hatter in this scene.
A little bit. And yeah, like you said about like her wearing the Spencer jacket again, I don't think it was till the second time watching this months and months ago that I realized, like, oh yeah, that's the same jacket, because even just the hat and her little bag, now that she doesn't have that huge muff, make it look so different.
I do like Mr. Churchill's shirt though he's wearing, because of the embroidery on it with the leaves and the flowers. That's really beautiful, intricate details.
Yeah, he is very fashionable. I love that scene where him and Mr. Knightley are like, no you go through the door first, because like you can see the contrast, like Mr. Knightley as the classy but practical gentleman. He's got his jacket, his vest, just an ascot, and then yet again Frank Churchill is wearing a patterned vest with another patterned vest and like an ascot that's like double the size.
It's too much. It's like we're comparing ascot sizes at this point.
That's exactly what's happening.
Is it time for a ball?
Oh, Spencer, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for a ball?
You know, Elizabeth, I love me a good ball.
Well, the Westons are about to give you a ball. Frank Churchill is permanently moving to the village. Mr. Weston's excited, so they're going to hold a ball for him. There, Emma finds her place in Highbury society, challenged by Mrs. Elton. She's like, oh, I'm a bride. I must come first. Oh, but I don't want to impose. So she's being obnoxious. Harriet looks lovely, is publicly snubbed by Mr. Elton, only to be saved by the kind gentleman, Mr. Knightley. As the night goes on, Emma and Mr. Knightley get to dancing, and they're like, oh, what is this? Who are we to each other? They start to catch feelings for each other. They're about to confront it right away. Mr. Knightley runs all the way to her house to say something. But just as he's about to say something, Frank Churchill is running into her home carrying Harriet, who is thoroughly distressed. She has been attacked on the road home, and they're like, oh, well, okay, let's help her first. And Harriet's like, Emma, I'm in love again. Through all her distress, she's only like, I've been saved and I'm in love. And Emma's like, oh, so you're in love with Frank? He just saved you from the gypsies. Okay, that makes sense. Okay. So Emma's like, all right, I guess your new love interest is Frank Churchill. These are some wild scenes.
I'm into it. Okay, let's start with the ball.
Let's start with Mrs. Elton at that ball.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mrs. Elton is screaming for attention. I feel like she's screaming for our attention right now to talk about her costumes. The hair. I can't with the hair, but I love that she put the little piece of jewelry in her hair to make it look like a crown.
She looks like a poodle.
That's a good way to put it. She does look like a poodle. I can't. So I'm very confident that's her hair now, looking at it more closely.
Yeah, it's just super... Like, they probably put a lot of fat in it.
Mr. Elton is so proud of himself. He's like, wow, everyone, look at my beautiful bride. I don't need you, Emma. I have this bride. But she's so annoying. It's almost backfiring. It's like, Elton, we don't care.
And he knows it. He knows she's super obnoxious. Like, and then, oh my gosh, the way he disses Harriet, it's like, oh my gosh, you piece of trash.
Yeah, like I said earlier, he has a very punchable face. He looked very punchable at this moment. I could not believe what he did to Harriet. He's just so mean.
He's so mean. Even when Mrs. Weston is straight up like, yo, ask this girl to dance, she's all alone and ready to cry about it. He's like, no.
Yeah, it's just so rude. But I love the ball scenes. I love any ball in any film or TV series. But, like, everyone just looks so beautiful. I love Jane Fairfax's costume. She's wearing pink underneath, but then wearing, like, a translucent white mesh over it. It's stunning. I love it. She just looks so beautiful. And Emma should be scared because she is her equal. Miss Fairfax just looks stunning. I'm obsessed.
I love Emma always wanting to wear white at night. Because it makes her stand out so much. So, one of the ridiculous kind of additions Miss Elton has to her dress are those little, like, rosettes all over the top with the chains of rhinestones and the other frilliness there. Yeah. Emma has those, too, but there's only, like, four of them placed, like, far apart.
Yeah, Emma's very, like, the sophisticated... You know, her outfits are very thoughtful. She's very, like, put everything on and take one thing off. But Mrs. Elton is just, like, put everything on and then add some more and add some more.
A bride must look like a bride.
And can we talk about, first, we haven't mentioned this. Mrs. Weston looks beautiful. We haven't even mentioned that she's played by Gemma Whalen from Game of Thrones. Hello.
Right? I'm like, I can't believe you hired her to play. It's not a small part, but it's definitely like...
I like it.
She doesn't do a ton.
Because in Game of Thrones, she plays Yara Greyjoy, and she's very, like, piratey and...
Ready to murder everybody.
Ready to murder everybody. And then in this, she's very sophisticated and classy and beautiful, and I love that. She's very versatile. I love that in an actress. I thought she did a great job in this role.
Yeah. I love her character. And I also love, she's just like pregnant the whole time, but nobody says anything about it. Yeah,
I actually didn't even notice that until you said that.
That's why Mr. Elton, when he's like, oh, I'll dance with you, Mrs. Weston. And she's like, oh, and she like points to her stomach and he's like, oh yeah, you can't dance, you're preggers. And then she's holding that baby at the end.
Oh, well, I noticed the baby, but I didn't notice the pregnancy. There was a lot going on, Elizabeth. As a costume person, my eyes are going all over the place, so I miss little details.
All right.
All right. Well, this was a fun ball. Very stunning.
It was a very fun ball. Ended in some confusion and tragedy. Poor Harriet. She's just, like, so flustered. But then she's like, I'm in love. And I'm like, oh, girl.
I mean, I did tear up a little bit when Mr. Churchill...
Oh, saved her?
Yeah, when Mr. Churchill saved Harriet, it was very cute. I started to tear up a little bit. I was like, oh, he's such a nice guy.
Such a nice man. I love her dad at the end of that scene, though. Like, is she alive? I'm so glad they got Bill Nighy to play that role.
He's such a good actor.
Because it was made for him.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, well, now Harriet's found her new love interest. I think we need to take a little break. Maybe let's get on Bumble, find ourselves some love interests.
Okay, well, whoever that person is, they better not have hair put up in a hair bow, and they cannot have giant sideburns either. So those are my two requirements.
I'd be down for some sideburns.
Okay. See you after the break.
Spencer, are you ready to wrap this up?
I am ready. Am I ready? I'm ready.
You're ready. You're ready. You have no choice. Things are getting interesting in Highbury. Mrs. Elton, she's just dominating the social gatherings. She has no qualms about saying whatever she wants. She's even like to Mr. Knightley, like, I want to see your house. Let me look at your house. And Emma's like, he doesn't let anybody look at his house. I don't know what you're trying to do, but it's all shut up. No, good luck. And he's like, oh, no, I'll open my house. Come visit. Everyone's visiting the Abbey. Emma's kind of tense because Mr. Knightley's been acting weird ever since the ball. Harriet's been acting weird. Emma's concerned when Mr. Knightley walks off with Harriet to have a little conversation. Even Jane Fairfax is being weird because she's there with everybody and she's like, I gotta go home. I don't feel good. And I was like, you're not gonna walk home alone. She's like, I am depressed. Let me leave. Goodbye. And I was like, okay. Things don't get any better. They take a little exploration to a local hill, aka Box Hill. And Emma's kind of bored. Frank Churchill, who's there, is also kind of bored. So he decides to come up with a little game to play. However, makes Emma reveal her crueler side. And she upsets poor, silly, very, very sweet Mrs. Bates. Even Mrs. Elton is like, oh, girl, no, that's not cool. Everyone abandons her. As they're leaving, Mr. Knightley, he's furious with her. He's like, yeah, she's ridiculous, but she's poor and disadvantaged, and everyone here looks to you when it comes to how people should be treated in our little society here. So you need to do better. She's upset. She automatically realized that she fucked up and has to go apologize to Mrs. Bates. But her day is not getting any easier. She's called to the Westons. And the Westons are like, so we really know you and Frank were very close because everyone noticed them flirting. It was no secret. They're like, Frank Churchill is engaged to Jane Fairfax. And now that his aunt has died, they're getting married. And Emma's upset. But she's like, I'm not upset for myself. I'm upset for my friend Harriet because I thought her and Frank could get together. So she's like, I gotta go once again, break Harriet's heart. So she goes, and Harriet's like, what? I don't care about Frank Churchill. I was talking about how Mr. Knightley saved me at the ball from having to look like pathetic and lonely. I'm in love with Mr. Knightley. You said it was possible. And she's like, no, I didn't. She's like, yeah, you did. And she's like, and no, and Mr. Knightley, she's like, Mr. Knightley's out of your league. And she's like, whoa, wait, do you like Mr. Knightley? And she's like, what? I don't know. And she's like, you totally do. Get out. So Emma gets out. She's sad walking the grounds between her and Mr. Knightley's estate. And Mr. Knightley's all in a tizzy because he's heard about Frank and Jane. And he's like, Emma was crushing real hard on Frank Churchill. I gotta go make sure she's okay. And she's not, because her and her best friend Harriet just had a fight. So he thinks she's upset about Frank, but she's not. And he's like, it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be okay. He's like, I love you, in more words than I love you, because he's a repressed Regency man. And she's like, what? No, you like Harriet. Harriet thinks you like her. You must like her. And he's like, I don't, but I understand the confusion. And she's like, well, until we fix the situation with Harriet, like, I can't marry you, but yes, I will. She realizes that she really screwed over Harriet when she convinced her not to marry Mr. Martin, and goes to apologize to Mr. Martin about it, and includes the lovely portrait she made of her dear friend in the apology. So Emma's doing her best to mend bridges, and mends the bridge with Harriet. Harriet comes over. She says, I'm engaged to Mr. Martin, and my father has finally revealed himself to me. He is a tradesman who makes galoshes, and she is proud of him no matter what his social standing. And this is where Emma really steps up. She's like, if he's coming to visit, please bring him to Hartfield. Because Harriet's her friend. She no longer cares what class they're in. So now all that's left is for her and Mr. Knightley to make it official. She's worried about leaving her father because he's a nervous man who doesn't like change. But Mr. Knightley, he's a stand-up guy. He's like, your father doesn't want you to leave here. You don't feel right leaving him here. Okay, looks like I'm moving in with you. And he does. They get married and live happily ever after.
Aww. So good. I wish you sat next to me when I watched this movie so you could have explained everything to me. You should record an audiobook for Emma. That'd be fun.
Maybe I should just do an Emma podcast. So I love this scene where they're all playing cards and Mrs. Elton's being really obnoxious, because there's just like so much tension between Emma and Mr. Knightley. But Mr. Knightley looks like the best he's looked this whole time. He's got that beautiful blue jacket with like a blue accent underneath it. And it looks so good. And I have to say, this is probably the only scene where Emma looks overdone. Like she's trying too hard to look good, almost like Mrs. Elton's gotten to her a little bit. Because she's got like the lilac over vest, the orangey yellow petticoat with the white muslin and the little brooch on the petticoat. It's just like a whole look.
Yeah, I think it's the yellow for me that makes it feel like now she's like really trying to put everything on that she has.
Yeah.
I agree with you though. The blue on Mr. Knightley looks wonderful. He looks great in blue.
He does. I wish he'd worn more blue. But I almost feel like in this moment he's trying harder for Emma.
The blue looks very sophisticated on him. He's pulling out all of his nicest clothes right now.
He is.
I'm going to get me a blue coat.
Do it. It would look good on you.
There's just so many costumes here.
I know.
So at Mr. Knightley's house, I love that he has everyone over. And this is a good point where you
group shot.
Yeah, it's a great group shot to see the different styles of everyone, because you have Mrs. Elton just kind of walking around wearing everything in her wardrobe again, looking the most. But then you have Mrs. Bates and I'm guessing her mother looking looking so old school again, just kind of walking around in the background. But then you have Miss Fairfax Stone. She looks absolutely stunning. I just love this group shot because it really shows everyone's different styles.
Yeah, it does. I like that Mr. Knightley like stands out the most with his gray jacket and then like two-tone boots.
He looks great. I love in the same scene with Emma and Harriet sitting together, because at this point they really are starting to feel and look like equals, because their costumes almost feel like a good compare and contrast, where it's almost the same costume just in different colors, and just different parts of it are almost different colors. To me, that's what I see.
Yeah, like clearly Harriet's added that like pink bow to one of her dresses to kind of mimic the pink in Emma's. It's still a little thrown together because, again, she doesn't have Emma's resources, but it still looks very nice with even like the blue gloves and the green little shawl she has.
Yeah, I wish that her gloves were pink, but, you know, I think it's very cute because I think that she's really kind of found her place in society, you know, in these social circles. Maybe she's not like the higher class like Emma is, but at least she's like made her mark in this society where everyone recognizes her and, you know, enjoys her.
Yeah. I also love this scene with her and Frank Churchill where he's come late to the party and he's all upset, and she's like, he wants to like go explore Europe. And he's like, there's nothing to do in England. She's like, oh, you don't like wealth and prosperity? It's like, yeah, England's like at your fingertips. Like, get over it.
Yeah.
But I love that they're next to this. It's probably like a Greek or Roman statue. Because you can see it kind of mimics that empire waste in the statue. And you can kind of just see the whole influence of Regency women's style. As Emma's standing right next to it.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because when you're looking at the statue, you see all the drapes and the garments, and it's almost like Emma's wearing the exact same silhouette right next to the statue. So it really goes to that Greek-Roman influence you were talking about. Elizabeth, are you ready to go on the world's most awkward picnic?
Yeah, I am. The party to Box Hill.
All right. First, we have to start with Miss Elton. I mean, look at her. She is really wearing everything she has in her wardrobe. She looks like the sun again, but also like the sun's wearing clothes.
Yeah. Honestly, this is probably the most toned down she ever gets.
Really? I feel like she's doing the most.
Because she's always doing the most, but it's like she's got her just very frilly white muslin with a couple of trims on it. It's really, like, the hat and the shawl she has, I think, that makes it look so busy.
With the parasol, too.
With the parasol, yeah, that's right.
She looks so crazy, but I love it. I love, as a costume designer, Alexandra Byrne, it's like, it feels very intentional that she has a lot to say with Mrs. Elton's costume, you know, that she is a bit much and she's really inserting herself into every conversation, into all these social circles, and she's doing the most to get where she's at, and her costume says all of that, so.
It says all of that. I like Emma again. She's gone back to being her simple, classy self in this scene, even though she is her least classy.
No, she was
behavior-wise.
She was so mean to Miss Bates. Like, I know I've been saying this entire podcast how annoying Miss Bates was, talking and talking and talking. But when Emma snaps at Miss Bates, I was like, "Hey, you don't talk to her like that. Like, that's like, she's my friend. I get to say that because me and Miss Bates are friends. You don't get to talk to her like that."
You don't get to talk to her like that. And I even love Mr. Knightley. Like, she's clearly, like, upset by what happened, but she's not going to say anything. And he's like, she is older than you. She is disadvantaged in life compared to you. She is a sweet person. Don't make fun of her.
Yeah. It's like when you're playing video games with someone and then they lose and they get up and start yelling at you or, you know, talking mad trash, and you're just like, okay, sit down. You're having a bit of a moment right now. I felt like, yeah, she's just taking all of her frustration out on Mrs. Bates, and I was just so upset.
And it's
so mean.
Like, Frank Churchill also, like, coaxes her into doing it, and it's like, what? Why are you being a jackass?
Ugh, kids these days.
I know. I do love her apology outfit, though.
I do, too. But I love that she went to her very drab, dark apartment again, Mrs. Bates. It just feels so sad. You would think that Mrs. Bates was dying or something.
I know. It's so sad. She looks lovely, though, in that, like, polka-dotted muslin with just the little lilac.
Yeah. Ugh, so many costumes. Not enough time.
However, one of my favorite costumes of her is coming up. When she finds out that Frank Churchill is getting married to Jane, and she's wearing that white muslin with the green trim and yellow and green embroidery with the just like little green drop necklace. It's so pretty.
It's so beautiful. I love the green on her. I love that at her waist, it's almost like a green and yellow kind of gradient. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, with, like, the backdrop of the trees behind her, I feel like in this scene, like, Emma's, like, growing into, like, a fully realized woman who she understands all the mistakes she's made, and now she realizes all the corrections she has to make.
She finally knows what she wants out of her life.
Yeah, I feel like this is just a big scene all about growth. So I love that she's wearing the green, because to me it kind of says a lot about nature and growth, and I think that's what the costume designer was trying to say.
And I love when she's talking to Harriet, because Harriet's wearing a muslin with a yellow petticoat underneath it, and it kind of picks up the yellow in Emma's, and it's like you can see how much Emma really has influenced her over the past year.
Yeah, it's almost like Emma's having a conversation with Harriet, but it's also a conversation she's having with herself, because Harriet's wearing almost the same exact costume that Emma was wearing scenes back. So she's really just kind of discovering things about herself at the same time. Yeah, I love these couple of costumes that you brought up.
She's discovering everything she's done wrong, that she loves Mr. Knightley and Mr. Knightley loves her.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got to dress down for a second when she goes to apologize to Mr. Martin. I was like, she really dressed down right here.
Yeah, she really was like, oh, I'm going to a farm. I need to like really dress up like a farmer for a quick second.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Mr. Martin seems like a nice guy. You know, once, is this our first time seeing him?
No, you see him a couple times. He doesn't have a lot of lines, but you see him quite a few times.
All right. So when we see Mr. Martin now and he like actually talks, I'm like, oh, he's actually a nice guy. I was mad at Emma all over again. I can't believe you made her say no to this nice man, Emma.
Yeah.
You smack to the wrist. How dare you?
And it's like back then being a illegitimate child, especially as a woman, like, she was lucky that anybody wanted to marry her.
Literally. We're lucky that she wasn't living in that, like, boarding house for the rest of her life with no man, so.
Yeah. She's lucky she wasn't on the streets, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, we have to talk about the scene at Emma's house with her father, once again looking like a real couch potato. You and I talked about this during one of the breaks, but I love Mr. Woodhouse and his obsession with like trying to stay warm and all these screens he builds around himself. Yeah,
but I love this scene because he's not doing it to stay warm. He's doing it to give the two of them privacy without him leaving the room.
But, I mean, yeah. Is he doing this on purpose because he knows they're having a moment? Or is he doing this because he's trying to protect them from whatever sickness he's about to get?
No, he's doing this to give them privacy because he knows they're having a moment.
I didn't catch that. I thought he was like, stay away from the cold and the germs. Hide.
Yeah. I mean, that's been him this entire time. But, like, he wants to give them privacy, but he really can't leave the room now that he knows something's up between the two of them.
He's so funny.
He's so funny. Also, can we take a moment to talk about all the servants in this movie?
I know. You forget they're there, but even the servants are like, oh, God, what's going on now?
The servants are so funny in this, and they're treated like they don't even exist. I love when Mr. Knightley goes home, falls on the floor. Just in the background, you see a servant walk through the door, look at him, turn around, and close the door. And then Mr. Woodhouse, when the first time they have Mrs. Elton over for tea, and Mr. Woodhouse is just staring at her, and the servant just like takes his teacup because he's like, you can't drop it.
And then Mr. Woodhouse, he's like, oh, move that screen. And he's like, no, not that screen. And you see, like, at one point, I think when Emma and Mr. Knightley start actually, you know, have their like first kiss moment, and that servants kind of look at each other like, oh, brother.
The servants in this are great. You have to watch the movie once to just watch it and take it in. A second time to figure out what's going on. Like, what's going on. A third time to figure out what the servants are doing in the background.
I think I might. I still have it rented for another 24 hours, so I might actually. Well, Elizabeth, you and I love a good wedding. So
we do.
Let's wrap this up with Emma's beautiful wedding.
Everyone is looking their best. All the ladies from the boarding house are there. Harriet's there. The Bates are there. Her sister and brother-in-law are there. I always thought it was so funny that he was crying.
I'm glad that Mr. Woodhouse decided to put on something that's not his, like, couch potato coat, blending in with the furniture.
Right? Emma was clearly like, you are wearing this, this, and this to my wedding. Thank you.
Yeah, don't worry. You could put on your couch potato coat as soon as you leave the wedding.
It's so good. Like, she just looks so simple. You hardly get to see what she's wearing in this scene. And it's so simple. She just has that beautiful veil. He's wearing that fantastic blue coat again. And it's like, they're just, you know, they're just going to go and live a very happy life together.
Yeah, I feel like it's very simple in the sense that, well, one, I'm glad that Mr. Knightley took your advice and decided to wear blue for his wedding. So props to you, Elizabeth. But then also, I do feel like Emma's wedding dress is very simple, but in the sense that she's wearing a veil and the flowers. I think that in this moment, they're really pulling attention to her face and just, you know, like actually just kind of documenting all of her emotions as she's getting married. And same with Mr. Knightley. You know, we've seen all of their costumes. They don't have a lot of different costumes, so we're really pulling attraction to the face right now. And it just really was a beautiful scene, but there's just little notes, like the flower embroidery and the veil.
I love that flower embroidery, especially because, like, they placed it perfectly. Like, it never really, like, hides any of her face.
Yeah, at one point, it almost looks like the embroidery is, like, right over her hair, like an actual flower, which she does have actual flowers in her hair. But the embroidery just looks like a part of her hair. It's really beautiful.
It's so good.
Oh, what a beautiful wedding.
I know.
When you and I get married one day, we're going to have like high expectations for whatever it is after all these costume podcast weddings we've done now.
I know. I mean, that might be our first one. Have we done any others? Have we just covered our first wedding?
No. It feels like we talk about weddings a lot, but maybe not.
Maybe that's just us.
Either way,
WandaVision had a wedding dress.
There you go. I knew it could not have been our first one. And Clueless.
That's right. Okay. Okay. Okay.
That is the end of Emma.
That's the end of Emma.
We made it. Elizabeth, thank you so much for taking us through that. I really had to depend on you this week because I was still trying to understand what happened.
I know.
And I have a deeper appreciation for Emma. And I'm going to go back and watch it again. I kind of want to read the book, too.
The book is great. It's been a while since I read the book. Like I said, there's a great film adaptation with Gwyneth Paltrow. There's a mini series from 2009 that's very good. You got lots of options.
And just one last note on a costume design of Emma. Alexandra Byrne, stunning, beautiful, loved it so much. You know, she was nominated for an Oscar for this. And now that I've seen this movie, I completely understand why she was nominated. Period costume, especially Regency costume, is not easy. It's very complex, a lot of history. And I think she nailed it. You know, I loved the use of color. I loved the use of the working outfit costume like you were talking about. And I just really feel like it's a really beautiful put together picture, and I'm really glad we talked about this movie.
It really was. If you want to know more, there are like a million and two articles out there. Like, there are a lot. I did a article around the Oscars reimagining Jane Austen's Emma. If you want to check that out, that has links to all my research for it.
Yes.
It's
go to the artofcostume.com. Go to Elizabeth's Emma article. It is a very, very great piece.
Thank you. But yeah, so that has a lot of quotes and what they did. Also lots of links to her other interviews. It's a great film.
All right, Elizabeth. Well, what are we watching next week?
Spencer, we're getting into spooky season finally.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, it's about to be September. So I think we can start getting into spooky territory. And we are going to watch Lovecraft Country.
Oh, hell yeah. I love this show so much. Actually, it is one of my favorite shows. So I feel like we're leaving Elizabeth's territory of Emma, and now we're moving into Spencer territory with Lovecraft Country.
We are. This is my first time watching it, so I'm very excited.
It is so good. I've seen it 1,000 times. The costume designer, Dana Pink, is Emmy nominated this year, and she deserves it. I love this show so much. I can't wait to talk about it.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Thank you all for listening. If you liked what you heard, give us a little like, follow, share us with your friends and family, and have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
The Art of Costume Blogcast is hosted by Elizabeth Joy Glass and Spencer Williams.
Produced by Elizabeth Joy Glass with associate producer Spencer Williams.
Our sound design and engineering is done by Daniel White.
Follow us on Instagram at The Art of Costume Pod.
Or visit theartofcostumeblogcast.com for all blogcast updates.
For more costume reviews, deep dives, and interviews, visit theartofcostume.com.
A blog dedicated to highlighting the best in costume design.